Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called The Toy Soldier That Saved My Life. This is from a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights, written by Tobias Wade. You can actually pick yourself up a copy of all of these stories off Amazon, I do believe. Links will be in the description of this episode, so if you decide to support the author, let me know. Head on over to the link and purchase yourself a copy, and I'd love to say thank you. So, with all that said, let's get started. If you truly love someone, you can look past the evil they've done. We all have both good and evil in us, but we choose to focus on the good. Then we can nurture it and let it grow. We can sweep evil under the rug and let it fade away without recognition or acknowledgement. We can play pretend and smile through the pain. We can hope and pray, and that will be enough. At least that's what I told myself whenever it got too bad. My husband wasn't always a violent man. He was sweet and good when I first met him, even if he did have a temper and break things sometimes. But it was always silly things like a cup or a bowl, or punching the wall where it wouldn't hurt anyone. The sound of it smashing would break through the mental fog which descended over him, and he always used to laugh at himself for ever getting so worked up. I haven't seen him laugh in a long time now. Ever since he kicked a dent into the car that we couldn't afford to fix, he's preferred a softer target when he couldn't contain himself anymore. I even thought that I was helping him when he'd lay his hands on me, grabbing my hair or pushing me around. I'd make a big show of falling, hoping that he'd see how strong and in charge he was, and that would make him feel better somehow. But my husband never got better on his own, and I didn't know how to help him. But he took care of me and my son, and if this is what I had to endure for him to make a good life for us, then I wouldn't flinch or let him down. I thought I could be strong enough for the whole family, and that he would see the resolve behind my quiet suffering, and that would give him strength too. But whatever I decided I could put up with, I could never wish the same for my little boy, Wallace. I didn't believe it the first time my husband hit Wallace. The boy kept tugging and pulling at my husband, trying to get his attention while he worked on his laptop. I told myself it was only an accident when my husband turned so sharply that his elbow connected with Wallace's temple, and the little boy ran howling from the room. But I couldn't keep lying to myself when my husband yelled after him, "Next time you'll leave me alone when I'm working." I thought it was strong, but as I stood trembling, unable to confront my husband about what he'd done, I knew that I'd be lying to myself about that too. I ran after Wallace without a word, comforting him and praying over him as he cried. Hands clasped together until they were white and shaking, I whispered frantic words of prayer that God would do what I could not, and set my husband upon a more righteous path. "Don't pray to God, he's not here," Wallace sniffled through the tears. I pressed his face against my chest, as much to stop him speaking such evil words as to calm him, but he wriggled free to run across the room and grab a toy soldier from his bed. It was a model of one of those straight British redcoats with impeccable posture, a straight line all the way from its shiny black boots to its tall black hat. "Here," Wallace said, shoving the toy soldier in my face. "Pray to him instead. He's here and he can keep us safe." I was so relieved to see Wallace wasn't crying anymore that I laughed and did what he asked. Then, as serious as can be, I knelt before the toy soldier and I repeated my prayers, hoping for the good in my husband to grow while the evil was destroyed, to be forgiven and forgotten forevermore. As much as I hate to admit it, I think Wallace was right about God not being in this house. The only thing my husband learned from that encounter was that the more we believed he would truly hurt us, the more we respected him and gave him what he wanted. "Pick up your damn toys, Wallace!" he'd shout, swearing as he stepped on one of the soldiers in the hallway. Wallace used to giggle and laugh and keep playing, but all my husband had to do was raise his hand now for the boy to jump to action like a soldier before the drill sergeant. "In the kitchen? You play with those on the floor. Keep your filthy things out of the kitchen!" my husband yelled when he found the toy soldiers lined up on the counter. I took the blame whenever I could, telling him that Wallace couldn't even reach the counter. I told my husband that I had put them there to wash them and forgot about them, so he threw one of them at me instead. The soldiers were made of metal and I could feel the cut on my face starting to bleed as I glared at my husband. I wanted him to see the blood and feel sorry for what he'd done, but he only said, "Tell your son I'm breaking them with a hammer next time. I found one outside his room." "Your son." Those words cut me deeper than anything he could have done to me. Wallace was his son too, but day by day my husband seemed to wish he wasn't. I sat down with Wallace and begged him to be more careful with his things. The little boy looked me in the eye and listened solemnly, and I thought he understood until he said, "The soldiers need to patrol if they're going to guard the house." I begged Wallace to keep them in his room, but I could tell it was only upsetting him. "It's not my fault," Wallace whined. "Why do I keep getting blamed for what the soldiers do?" I was angry at Wallace for not cooperating. I took all the soldiers away from him and locked them in a cabinet, telling him he could only have them back when he took responsibility for his things. And Wallace screamed and cried, but I was afraid of what my husband would do if he caught them out again. "Please, Mom, they've got to keep us safe," Wallace begged, but I didn't give in. I had the key to the cabinet in the top drawer of my dresser. I knew Wallace didn't know where it was and couldn't get to it even if he did. I don't know how the toy soldiers were lined up at the end of our bed when I woke up, all six of them standing to attention, apparently guarding me while I slept. My husband was still sleeping beside me as I quietly got out of bed. I thought I could put them away before he woke up so he'd never know. My hands were shaking when I picked them up though, and I managed to knock one of them over to clunk against the bed as if it fell. I stood frozen as my husband shifted, not daring to move or collect the rest of the soldiers until I was sure he was asleep.
"Wallace put them there, didn't he?" my husband grunted from the bed.
"I put them there," I said automatically. "I wanted them to keep us safe."
It was the only thing I could think of, and I knew how stupid it sounded the moment I said it.
"You're lying," he shouted. "Stubbornness, lies, disobedience. What will it take for you and your son to respect me?"
My husband leapt out of bed, intent on waking Wallace up and demanding him to confess what he'd done. As soon as he landed on the floor, he howled with pain, collapsing onto the ground beside the metal soldier beneath him. I knew there were only six soldiers, though, and I had been sure I counted all six lined up at the end of the bed. Yet there were only five as I counted again now, the sixth one brandishing a bloody bayonet in my husband's hand.
"Wallace!"
my husband screamed, eyes flashing with rage.
"He didn't do it," I swore, running to the door to block him leaving.
"Then you did this to me."
I narrowly dodged as the metal soldier flew through the air. Drops of blood sprang across the room from where it had impaled his foot. My husband was hobbling after me, but the soldier must have cut him deeply because he was moving slow, and I had enough time to get out of the room and slam the door before he caught up with me. I pressed my back against the door, terrified and frozen. Maybe I should stay where I was and hold the door shut as long as I could, giving Wallace a chance to run. But it would only be worse for us the longer I resisted him. I know if I was really strong, I would have gone back in the room to apologize and let him do what he wanted to do as long as he left Wallace alone. But as the door rattled behind me, I was too weak, too afraid to face him. It was all I could do to pin the door shut and plead with him to calm down. I thought the door was breaking when I heard the loud crack behind me, and then another, and another, popping cracks breaking the early morning air. Any moment he'd be through, the broken shards of the door sinking into my back, or punching a hole through the door. He'd shove his hands around my neck, and then there would be no one left to protect Wallace. No one but the soldiers inside the room. But the door never broke, and gradually the pressure subsided behind me. I heard my husband lean heavily on the door, and then slide to the ground where he collapsed. I listened to the silence in my beating heart for a long while, unable to open the door and see what had happened. I stayed there until I heard Wallace come out of his room and say,
"It's okay, Mom. They won't let him hurt us."
I found my husband lying on the ground when I opened the door. There was a lot of blood from his foot, but even more flowing freely from his back, where a dozen small holes ripped through his t-shirt. If the soldiers weren't all still lining the end of the bed exactly where I'd left them, I would have thought the cracks I'd heard had been them opening fire and shooting my husband dead. The cabinet where I put the soldiers was still locked, the key still in my dresser where I'd left it. I don't know how the soldiers got out or what really happened in that room while I held the door closed. I just know that I had prayed and that those prayers had been answered. The evil in my husband has been destroyed. And while I don't know if I can ever forgive him for what he did to us, I know Wallace and I are finally safe to grow. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, consider liking the video or episode and subscribing for more. I'd really appreciate that. If you'd like to support the channel even more, well, join us on Patreon and the other patrons. And I just really appreciate those of you who are patrons. It really means a lot that you would choose to support the channel like you do. It really, really does go a long way to me. And I even equally as much, I do appreciate you for listening and all of the things that you all do that matter, like liking and commenting and stuff like that and helping spread the channel. If you'd like to, come join us on Discord. It's a fun place to hang out. It's pretty chill. And if you'd like to send me your story, go to storiesaftermidnight.com, where there will be a link to do so. So, with all that said, I really appreciate you for being here. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next one.